just encourage people to stay connected with yourself and ask questions like, how am I feeling? What do I need?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And Friday night, 7 p.m., another episode. I've got a really interesting take on tonight's episode, but I'll share that in just a minute. You know, summer has arrived, I guess. It's really warm here in the Pacific Northwest, and so I'm enjoying the longer days of summer. I hope you guys are too. And I always say, what are you curled up with? Which, as I started to think about that today, it reminds me of winter, but I'm still going to say it because I'm curled up with my chai tea and my homemade almond milk, my usual go-to anymore, I think, as well as just so excited to be here. And I'm also super excited because tonight we have a dear, dear friend and a member of my health team, my health recovery, my health journey, Bev Martin. She's here and she is an awesome woman. She's an amazing coach. She's NLP trained as well as clean language. And I know I'm forgetting all sorts of things. She's just so intuitive about everything. And what I love about Bev is she has this way of asking these beautiful questions that just expand your mind. I mean, she's asking out of pure love and pure curiosity. And yet all of a sudden, your mind is just expanded by these ways that she has powerful questioning strategies. She also does family constellation work, all sorts of amazing things. So we'll have Bev talk a little bit more about herself. But one of the things I wanted to share tonight is this month is the 4-year anniversary of my diagnosis. And one of the things I wanted to have Bev on to talk with me about, we're going to be interviewing each other. So it's not just a one-way conversation as it is sometimes with my interviews, because Bev has been with me the whole healing journey. She's experienced the whole thing, poor thing. So welcome, my friend, Bev. Thank you for being here tonight.
It's my pleasure and lucky me, honestly, lucky me to get to participate with you through this journey. And I'm so delighted we are where we are in the progress that you've made. And I'm looking forward to turning the tables on you a little bit and interviewing you were, because I'm sure that your audience are really interested to hear even more about you, what you've been through, and probably even more importantly, like how you've managed to be at this part of your healing journey. So I'm looking forward to interviewing you.
Exactly. See, and that's the reason I threw myself into this, because I know Bev is fantastic at bringing out just the essence of so many things. I'm going to put her on the spot a little bit, because one of the things she taught me years ago, and I have remembered this so often, is that a simple way to bring out people's limiting beliefs and deep thoughts is to use the word because. Do you remember telling me that, Bev?
Only vaguely. You're going to have to remind me. Yeah. Go ahead and let me know how the context.
As we were talking one time, I was telling her all sorts of things, and I was always using this word because. And she stopped me, and she said, look, because is a fascinating word, because it appears in sentences usually followed by a reason. And those reasons were things that she wanted me to back up and go into the reasons individually, not just this because, and, you know, just comma, 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 comma. It was really important for her to slow me down and figure out all of why there was so many because, and then the so many, I had so many reasons going on. And that learning was important to me, because when I hear my own self talk now and I hear my own because, I stop and I go, okay, what's the deeper reason? Why? What is this about? It's not just some fluffy thing. It forces me to go deeper now.
That's really important, because our brain tends to think that whatever follows a because is a fact. And so we want to check that, you know, is that so?
See, I told you, is that so? She is so good at just getting me to make sure that I am on my truth path. And that doesn't mean that being untruthful, which is really fascinating to me. What it meant to me being on that path is, am I being honest with myself? Even when Bev would say, are you in pain? And I'd like, oh, I'm fine. And she could probably tell, like, yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, take us back to that time, Sharon. I mean, you know, I had the fortunate part of being participating with you at least some of the time. I'm aware that there were some times shortly after that diagnosis that were really challenging. And I don't mean for you to relive it, but what would you have us know? Like, you know, what was it like? And can you say the name of the diagnosis? Is that okay to ask?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really long. It's called dermatomyositis. And I'll tell you, when I first heard that word, it could have been supercalifragilistic. You're not feeling well. You know something's wrong, and you get a diagnosis. But usually it's a word like that, and you're like, what?
Right.
The doctor might look a little scared or a little nervous or a little sheepish about telling you. So you know from the body language, okay, that's not good. But other than that, you have no context for what any of it means. And I think that was the part that frustrated me the most, was the first context I got was really horrible news. It's like, look, this is going to happen, and myositis means muscle weakness, and they're talking about me not being able to walk, and the dermato part is massive skin rashes, and it was horrible for about 2 months until we got it under control. I have to tell people this, it's shocking, but I'm sorry. I did lose about 60% of my skin in 2 months, and the pain was so excruciating at times. Because imagine waking up with a third degree burn, and that's from the inside out. That's how I describe it. Because you wake up, you have a rash, and over the period of 24 to 48 hours, the skin starts to peel. So I imagine waking up with a terrible sunburn, but you weren't out in the sun. The interesting thing that happened to me, though, was two things. The pain for me got to the point where I wasn't in pain anymore. I know that sounds really weird, but that's the only way I can describe it.
And you were just used to it?
I do a lot of mindfulness work, as you know, and I think I was able to distract myself from it. I'm sure it was still there in some context, in some form. It didn't look well. The other thing I was thinking about is, when you're given that diagnosis and you're told all of these horrible things, they use the word have a lot, like you have this and this will happen and this is the outcome. And you have to be so careful that you don't take that in as truth.
Right.
Because here I am. I've been off all the meds since August of last year. But I was healthy before that. But just out of an abundance of caution, my team kept me going on the particular direction that we weaned off and all of these things. So I probably technically could have been off of them sooner. But just I have a fantastic team, Bev part of that, who... it kept me from rushing the process in a way, because I just kept wanting, get this over, get this over, get this over. But they were right. They were right. Take the time, allow your body to heal, allow your body to recover. I think the two big things for me was first accepting the diagnosis, because it's a shock and a grieving process. And the second one was dealing with all the, as I call them now, white coat authorities giving you horrible, horrible prognosis.
Well, how did you? I think that's such a good point, because on the one hand, you're really counting on medical knowledge, on all the things they know. They know how to spell that big long word, you know, and they even know what that word means. So you're having to avail of knowledge and information. And yet, you and I have talked about this, where, you know, someone in a white coat, when they forget to say, in my opinion, before they deliver a, you know, what seems like a life sentence of some kind. So how did you manage to navigate between, here's the words of wisdom that come from, you know, somebody who knows better than you in some regards, and when you would listen to your own self?
Great question. I got to think about that one a second. I think all of my massive training, Bev and I have some similar training, and she has some deeper training in other ways too. And so I've studied with Bev before. Bev and I have known each other. I was thinking about this, Bev. We've known each other for 20 plus years. And so I've studied with Bev. I've studied with Bev over the years, and some of the things that she taught me, as well as other beautiful trainers and mentors in my life, was about knowing the difference between believing and knowing. And I think that most people are like, what do you mean, Sharon? Well, knowing is based on scientific fact. Knowing is, what are probabilities? What are the statistics? And believing is something different to me. That's where hope lives. That's where prayer lives. That's where thought lives. That's where faith lives. And I think that shortchanged a lot, unfortunately, because the doctors know, at least they say they do. They're shocked at my outcome, but that's fine. I've proved to them that the outcome's possible, so that's all that I care about. But the believing part, believing that, I guess my dander got up. I'm known as a polarity responder, and if you don't know what that is, that maybe some of you out there are in my community are too. I know some of you have written me on that you are. And what it means is, when someone tells you you can't, you won't, or this is like that final outcome, whatever it is, you get your dander up and you're like, not me. That's not going to be me. Nope, I'm going to prove you wrong. So I remember having that discussion numerous times with my doctors, and actually firing some doctors, because they were like, Sharon, get real. You know, I'm going to send you to a psychiatrist if you keep talking like this. And I'm like, no, I just don't. I'm just refuse to have that outcome for my life.
Wow. Wow. And get real according to whose reality and to what is possible. I love how you say it, where hope lives. You know, because I see people with all kinds of immune disorders and real challenges, and I take my hat off to people who can keep hope alive when everything, you know, just feels challenging and lousy, and you have an expert, well-meaning as they may be, sort of helping you to not let your expectations get too high when you actually need them to be really high and really good.
Yeah, you probably saw me wince there in audio. You can't see me wince there when Bev said that. Because she's never said that to me. But interestingly enough, that triggered me. It was something very similar to that, to a medical professional at a very respected institution, well-known institution here in the U.S. And I was just like, you know, if you want us to get well, then... And I kind of lectured him on how to talk to people. If you want to keep that hope alive in us, I don't know, who knows if it helped or not, but it made me feel better.
They should hire you to do that very thing, because what a difference it makes when a supportive person knows just the language to use and what not to say when someone's doing their level best. You know, it's your life. What could be more important, you know? Right. So it sounds like you're saying there's sometimes when a doctor would find you non-compliant, where actually what you were doing was the best thing you could possibly do.
Yes. Yes, I've been labeled NCP. Guys, if you ever see that on your medical folder, it means non-compliant patient. And that can be anything from saying to a doctor, like, you know, that might be what's normally suggested, but that's not going to work for me. And that's important to know. And even if the outcome is undesirable because I made a choice, I made the choice versus someone else making a choice for how I was going to live my life. And that's important to me. One of them, it was suggested removing a major body part. And not only did I go into instantaneous shock, so don't ever make decisions when you're in shock. If you hear something and you go into shock, don't ever make your decisions when you're in shock. But intuitively, I knew that wasn't the answer. And that's when I just said, thank you, but no thank you. And I found another opinion. And I've shared this on the show before, and I know I shared it with you, Bev. But I was in panic after I heard that. I said, oh my gosh, do they really want to do that? That's horrible. That's awful. I don't know, my life would be worse without that body part. And I called up my beautiful, longtime internal care practitioner. He's just awesome. And he knows, he knows that, could tell when I was very upset and panicked a little bit. And he said, Sharon, just breathe, which I think all of you, that was one thing all of you would always say to me, just breathe through it, which that's one of my tips right there, breathe. And he said, Sharon, that's a surgeon's answer for a problem he cannot solve.
Wow.
Yeah. I use that now in my life. That's, that's a plumber's answer to a problem he cannot solve. That's an electrician's answer to a problem he cannot solve. It's expanding our mindset to go, okay, where are there other solutions? Not just in the surgery route. Are there physical therapists? Are there other routes that we could try before we go to what I considered very extreme?
Right. Wow. And how rare it is, and actually wonderful, to encounter a doctor once in a while who will honestly say, I don't know.
That's, well, as you know, which is part of my team, that was one of my requirements for being on the team.
Excellent. Say more about that.
I'm fine if you don't know. I'm absolutely fine. I've been all around. And so I'm fine if somebody says I don't know. And because my next question is, do you know someone who might? Or do you know someone else who would give me a different idea? I did not ask that of that surgeon, because my own intuition said, that's his final answer. It's kind of like that game show, is that your final answer? Yeah. I could just tell that was his final answer.
And the final answer you'd be willing to listen to, for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. So that was a critical point, I think, was having a team members that say, I'm baffled as you are, Sharon. And I'm like, that's okay. I'll keep looking. I'll keep researching, and willing to accept what I call out of the box ideas and tell me no or tell me yes. Because I got chastised one time by another professional that I let go about listening too much to Dr. Google. And I absolutely agree. There is a bunch of quacks out there. You put in your symptoms or whatever, and you can get, wave a dead chicken over your head. You can get anything. But I was actually doing true medical research on the medical research websites. It wasn't just, looking for some trip to a jungle somewhere to get cured. And I think so it's important for you to let them know that the research that you're doing on your own, because nobody knows you like you.
Indeed.
And sometimes when they give you a diagnosis, I had a diagnosis 2 years prior that just never seemed right. I'm like, you can check off a couple of those boxes, but no, that's not right. No, that's not right. And I tried all their suggestions and it didn't fix the situation. And so when I got the second diagnosis 2 years later, I wasn't really surprised. And then when I read what dermatomyositis is, I went, yeah, that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a place to point, a place to do research.
That's so important. I love that you say nobody knows you like you, because it's exactly right. And I think even, a person say like myself, I'm not medically smart, but I know myself. And I think a doctor who would at least honor and acknowledge what you know about you, because that's a whole field of wisdom they couldn't possibly have access to. I love a doctor who will listen and respect when someone says, that just doesn't feel right, or it doesn't feel like me. That's wisdom, if not medical knowledge.
Right. And listen to you that if you do what they suggest, like take a particular medication, and you have some strange reaction that's not on that piece of paper that comes with it, tell them, because you know you best. Like, I never had that before. Like, one of the things that drove me nuts was when you have an autoimmune, a lot of times they put you on very heavy medications like chemotherapies and anti-rejection transplant drugs, things like that, which were shocking to me. And one of the ones they put me on, I lost a lot of my hair. You probably remember that. I had these big patches of my hair falling out, and my hair used to be red and straight, and now it came back in gray and very curly, crazy. But I remember him saying, when I said, well, look, I'm losing my hair, and I had pictures from my cell phone, look, it's just coming out in clumps. And he goes, well, that doesn't happen.
Oh, my mistake. My experience is completely irrelevant. That doesn't happen. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. But he had no other explanation of what was happening, because hair loss is not part of dermatomyositis either. So it was like, okay, what do you think? I'm pulling it out for show. So, yeah, we need to take a quick commercial break. When Bev and I get together, we just have great fun. This is so much. This is fascinating. You know, I love this. I hadn't even thought of a lot of this thing until you asked me. And then I just went down rabbit hole after rabbit hole here. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight, I'm also the guest. You might have been listening as, you know, Bev Martin, a beautiful member of my wellness team, has been throwing questions at me. Some, we didn't practice this. This was just like, here, Sharon, we're just going to go for it. Find out what's in that head. Because we're celebrating, oddly enough, the 4-year anniversary of my diagnosis. And I know you guys are like, well, that's an odd thing to celebrate. But you know what? I am a thriver now. And I am totally abolished the word survivor. And some of my medical professional team will tell you, Sharon, you're not cured. And I tell them, I don't care. I feel great. And in many respects, Bev, as you know, I actually feel better than I did for several years beforehand, before the anointing of the diagnosis. And that tells me I'm on the right track.
Right. I love your language, words like thriver. And, you know, probably a big part, because you and I both have the love for how we think and language. Can you share a bit of some of the ways that you maintained yourself, your hope, your good mood, and the way that you were thinking about things? I would love to know more about how you used all your skill in communication to support yourself through this healing journey.
Very carefully, I guess. And one of the things I would do, and I've learned this from you too, is if I said it in a, I'll say a negative way, I would go cancel, 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 and start over. Mm-hmm. It's a healing journey. It's an experience. A disease is out of there. Illness is out of there. All of the sort of negative labels. And it's always about moving forward. A journey is moving forward. An experience, an adventure is open, and you know, you're looking forward to those kinds of things. At least I love the word experience and adventure. And so I would use words that encouraged me to move forward, as well as I would talk to other people in that same language. And sometimes they would look at me like, Sharon, you're talking kind of strange. But it's critically important, because as you and I both know, the words have meanings and they stay. And if we hear negative words from ourselves or from others, our unconscious mind really has very limited filters to say, oh, well, that's not true. It does, you know, it doesn't know unless we go back and say, cancel, cancel, cancel. We don't want to import that, you know, hit the delete on the computer button on that one. And so that was important to me in being really careful and choosing the words and the language I used. And another thing that was important for me, and I've been blessed to have people in my life, friends like you and a larger community, as well as my own family. At first, everybody's in shock. At first, there's a lot of grieving. At first, there's a lot of like, what's going to happen, you know, and future pacing and all just all sorts of things. But one of the things that kept me, and some people might say that's really kind of false, but it worked for me, was I always tried to be upbeat, especially around my close family, those close loved ones that are in my sons and my grandkids and all of that. Because one thing I didn't need, as much as they were beautiful about it, was to make them more scared, make them more anxious than they already were. And, you know, I figured I'd deal with it. If things took a turn that I wasn't expecting, I would deal with it at that time. But always keeping my hope up and my faith up and searching for the right answers were important to me. So I'd say my family was a strong motivator for me. I know that's kind of an outside motivator, not an internal one, but it's important.
I love the way that you were also taking care of them while you were taking care of you.
Yes. Now, I've seen some people in my community take that to the extreme where they're sacrificing themselves. Okay. And I want to say that's not what I did.
No.
This is just watching my language around them, not being too much of a complainer, you know. Like, how are you feeling? And I was honest. I was like, well, you know, I've had better days or something like that. But I don't know if you've ever met someone that you say, how are you feeling? And, oh, my goodness, you just get this whole... 30-minute downer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that was important. I never didn't want to hide them from it, but I didn't need to heighten their anxiety about it either.
Right, because that's supportive of you in the long run also, is that you want people to be informed and also to know how to support you. So that, you know, if you keep your team uplifted, they're more capable of supporting you when those days come when perhaps you really need them to. Help out.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, Bev. I know you are awesome about how you tell people in your world what you need. We've shared this conversation a couple of times through my healing process. You help guide me through this. Let's share some of your wisdom about how you tell people in your world what you need so it comes out in a positive, supportive way for both of you.
It's a gift to let them know what you need, because as you know, if you've ever, we've all had to encounter people who are going through something difficult and we tend to try and read their mind. I wonder what they need, you know, and it could be anything from a casserole to come hold my hand, to come drive me to my appointments. The range of what a person could use that's supportive could be anything. So there's a gift in being able to say to someone, I could really use, or I could really need. And so I usually just encourage people to stay connected with yourself and ask questions like, how am I feeling and what do I need? So that when someone comes along, well-meaning as they may be, when they say, let me know if you need anything, you can be specific, you know, if necessary, so that no one's having to read your mind. But knowing what you need and being clear about that can be really, really helpful, because then you also know when you're good, when you have no needs. And it's just like, I would love your company, or come and talk to me when I'm going to this appointment. Or I have a friend who's, I love how specific she is about things when she was grieving the loss of her mom. It made me know, okay, phew, I know I'm stepping up to the friend plate. Because she would say, I just want to hear from you. And she was down in another state taking care of her dad after this loss. And in my family, for better or for worse, our model is, we won't bother you while you're going through something difficult. It's a very British model. We'll just lie low, disappear, because we're not bothering you, right? So in my model, if I had only asked myself, I would have been like, I will show her how supportive I am by not bothering her. Whereas I've learned more and more, it's like, bother me, please. And she said, And in fact, I asked this question, which is one way to ask someone how what they might need. I was like, when you know that you are loved by me, how can you tell?
Wow.
I know, isn't that great? So when you know that you're loved by me, how can you tell? And she said, I'd love it if you'd call as often as you can. So even while she was down taking care of her dad, I would text and call. And I had the confidence of knowing, oh, this is welcome. This is what love looks like for this person. Where for another person, you know, in my family, it would be like, I'm not bothering you. But so much better to ask, when you know you're loved, how could you tell?
Oh, see, I told you guys, isn't she awesome? She just always stops me in my tracks like that. That is like the best question. And not only if you're feeling lousy, I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to ask some people in my world who are perfectly fine.
Yes, great.
I mean, they have no, well, who knows, but they have no diagnosis. So it's like, that is a great question. I love that. Okay. I'm glad we ran down that rabbit hole. That's awesome. Now, you know, that does create another conundrum for me, Bev. It's like, my mind went blank for a minute. I don't know.
Right.
So, is that independent of each person? I mean, like, if you asked me, my answer would probably be different than if someone else asked me.
But it's really worth considering for yourself, because in the world, imperfect as it is, it's pretty unlikely that everyone who loves you will know the question and know to ask it. They're thinking, what can I do? And we tend to give love in our own love language, right? Mine is food. So I would inundate you with casseroles, whether you like it or not, because that's what love looks like to me. It's like, let's cook together, let's cook together. Of course, when someone's dealing with an illness, food is often very challenging, or there's a limit to what you can eat. So it behooves us to find out. So as the person who would like to be loved in this way, knowing that your loved ones have got a big think bubble above their head, like, what can I do? Instead of them being stressed out by that, consider, when I'm loved, how do I know? And then communicate that. I do it shamelessly to my daughter and my husband around things like Mother's Day or my birthday, just to make it easy on them and know that I will feel loved, because I'll get what I fancy. You know, I'll be able to say, I'll know when I'm loved when, or I'll really, really love it when fresh flowers, oh, wouldn't it be great? So be open about what would be supportive. And to be fair to our loved ones, if we don't know the answer to that question, they're going to keep having to scratch their beard. How would they know if we don't?
Oh, true. Absolutely true. Now, in your experience, though, is there a moment where a loved one, I'm thinking of maybe you've had a partner for a long time, husband, wife, partner, and you say that question, or you say that statement. Should you like go, fair warning?
Yes.
I just learned something on a podcast and I'm going to try it. Yes. I mean, should you go like, fair warning?
I think you want to ease them into it, because, you know, there's a big difference between a request and a demand. But a request could be something like, you know, I wonder if you've been wondering how to love me. And be, of course, respectful and appreciative of all the ways they're already doing it. They may be doing it in their way. You know, someone who puts oil in your car, If that may be their love language, and you want to really acknowledge that, as well as to say, you know, I really so appreciate the car maintenance. Thank you so much. You know, what I would really love, I really would love the smell of fresh flowers, or whatever it might be, assuming that it is their intention to be kind and loving, and they just don't know how.
Now, a question arises, though. I love this, because another question arises. So this is brand new. We're trying it for the first time, and we're doing it out of that place of love and curiosity and wonder and admiration for the other person. I'm curious, what happens if they don't believe what you just said? Like, you know, I would really just love pancakes in bed.
Right.
And the day comes and goes, and you get flowers.
It doesn't happen, right? Well, you know, more specifically, I'm feeling like in the context of having a diagnosis, or where people feel like, when in an ordinary situation, just a regular relationship, we all feel like we know each other. I think there's always more levels of knowing, and not everyone is willing to play the "do you want to know me deeper" game. But in the light of a diagnosis, where you now have more information about your prognosis, what you're going to need. You may have to make more requests. You may have to say to someone, you know, I know we always go out every Thursday afternoon for pancakes. Now my diet is such. Would it still be the same if we just took a walk and I'll have my little dish of whatever will work for my health at the moment? To take away the fear that they may have and replace it with action steps that they can take is a gift for both parties, because some people, out of fear, when someone they love have a diagnosis, they are so afraid of doing something wrong that they tend to go, like, I won't do anything.
The other one is they've tried it and you were in a really painful, grumpy mood and you snapped at them. Yes. Not because you meant to, but your tone of voice just came out wrong because, ooh, that hurt or whatever. So, yeah. Okay, go back. I just had to throw that in.
Exactly. But that's a good point. I have a client who has really roller coaster blood sugar issues. And she was going on a tour with like a Doctors Without Borders kind of thing. And she said to me, I don't know what I'm going to do, because if I'm blood sugar low, it's shock day, you know, until I get my. So I was like, preframe, just tell everyone. Because if you tell everyone, here's the deal, I love you with all of my heart. And when this happens, you may see this, you know, so that people know that they're, when that happens, that they don't slink away going, does it mean she doesn't love me? Does it mean our relationship has gone south? They already know ahead of time. Oh, that means her blood sugar is low. The nice version of her will be back soon, you know. And it's especially if they also know, like in her case, you know, I said to her, so when you bite off their head, what would you like them to do? You know, surely not just leave you. And it's like, go get me, you know, a Lara bar, go get me something, and, you know, nice will be restored. So just helping people know how to love us.
Yeah. That's true. And if they know in advance that, because what my worry is if they try this and maybe they're the caregiver listening and they go, okay, I'm going to try that, that they get a snap and they're like, well, that's the last time I'm doing that, Sharon.
Right. Yeah. I asked and it did not go well. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, being really patient with each other and with ourselves in every range. I have a friend who's got a severe condition actually caused by a drug. It's another whole story. And she doesn't have a great deal of support in her family, and not through any failing of their own. It's just that they somehow are not really skilled at being able to handle the range of emotions that she's going through. So she supplements by creating her team, you know, not unlike you have done, where she's got someone somewhere to go, and in a way lets some of her closest family members a little bit off the hook.
Why not? That's what my team does, guys.
Exactly. It's like, okay, family, you can just be you. I've got this, you know. It, all around, it's acts of love.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some of the other things I wanted to talk about were just quick, because we're down to, believe it or not, when Bev and I get together, it's like this. We're down to our last 12 minutes. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, mindset was huge for me, absolutely huge, transformative. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight I'm here with Bev Martin. She's a dear friend and a member of my health team. And I had her on because this month is the 4-year anniversary of my diagnosis. And we've been talking about everything I've done in these 4 years that have gotten me to this place where I call myself a thriver. And my doctors sometimes shake their heads. I go, Sharon, you're not cured. And I look at them and I go, I don't care. I feel great.
Wow. So considering, 4 years, it's really something to celebrate, and everything that you've been through, you've talked to researchers, you have checked out all kinds of things. You've tried things that worked well and things that didn't work well. And it tickles me that it's 4 years. It's almost like you've been getting a degree in how to thrive and how to be well.
Funny you say that. 178 hours worth.
Right. You've got all your CUs and your diploma, and this is a graduation. So what would you have us know? Like, what have you learned, especially for people who are still really in the middle of it? Share with us everything that you used, or as much as you can, that helped you on your healing journey.
Found a team that would listen to me, not always agree with me, not always disagree with me. That part didn't matter, but listen to me. That's what mattered. And trusted that I knew myself when I said, that supplement, whatever it was, might work for most people, but gosh, I feel kind of crazy, loopy, tired, fatigued, whatever. And then that they trusted that, okay, we've got to find a different solution. So people that were open to multiple solutions was critical. And then a lot of personal things that I thought I was leading a healthy lifestyle, I had to change. Sleep hygiene. I learned that from one of our guests, and Dr. Joseph Tata says sleep hygiene. And I said, what is that? And that was so important. It's the best of my ability because I travel a lot, but it's very important that you go to bed at the same time and you try to wake up at the same time, that you have very specific nighttime relaxation routines, turn off screens. That was a toughie. Turn off screens and get into a relaxed state, whether it's reading a paper book, like an old-fashioned book, not a Kindle screen. And doing things that calm you down so you can have a good night's sleep, because oftentimes people with autoimmune sleep can be tricky. And then also diet. I've learned I can't cheat, even though here I'm like, woohoo, I'm feeling great. I think, yes, somebody's birthday party, I think I'll have a cupcake. I can't cheat. And that's okay. I had to learn that lesson. So it's a whole radical shift about diet, nutrition. Like I said, I thought I ate healthy because I ate a lot of salads. But I found out that I had a lot of food sensitivities. So continuing to get my gut healthy through managing my food sensitivities was important. And then another one that just totally shocked me too, because I'm a neat freak, was all the toxic chemicals we're exposed to. Everything, perfumes even, makeup. I was shocked at if you've ever read the back of some of your makeup, how like 80 different things in there that you can't pronounce. Because I was saying, okay, no processed foods. And I was eating that way before the diagnosis, no processed foods. What was shocking to me was, okay, but you got the toxins out of the food, but you've got detergents and cleaning products and personal products and makeup and, oh my gosh, plastics and everything else. It was surprising to me how many toxins we are exposed to every day. Now, we had Sharon McGrill on, who gave us a real primer on the toxic home. That was awesome. A good way for you to start is to listen to that one that with Sharon McGrill on the show. And because she gave us a real primer on that and how to use essential oils in place of that as well. I have to say, I never go overboard. I mean, it's always a process with me. I didn't go through the house and throw everything out. The little money saver in me just had a hard time with that. But whenever the opportunity came to replace or whatever, I always became much more critical thinking about what am I replacing things with. And this sounds really strange. During that process, I decluttered. And I had a lot of things that I collect on my travels, people give me or whatever. And I really used that method of, does this make me happy? And if not, out it goes. And I think, let's see. And learning to say no was really important.
I guess that's key, learning to say no. Because having to say a really big, strong yes to yourself. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. I learned along the pathway that if you, you know, whatever you say yes to, you're saying no to something else. And so what is the value of your yes and what is the value of your no?
And it's like good health or cupcake. I'll take health. Thank you very much. Yeah.
For me, I'll take pain free because I get real joint pain when I get exposed to gluten. So.
And then here you are, having had the diagnosis, going through a challenging time, learning how to thrive, and it's such a testament to who you are that you then also offer a show helping people through this kind of thing. So, you know, here you have what role did having the show have in part of your thriving?
Oh, a big role. It was something to look forward to. It's not, I would say, something to motivate me to. Some weeks, it was like, it's not that easy putting on a podcast. And I was like, oh, but I did it every Friday night. I would do, make sure that I did it. And I've met so many awesome people, not just my guests, but people who've introduced me to guests and people on the Facebook community, people on the Twitter community. And now we've just started Instagram as well. And I love it. I think a big thing about healing is knowing you're not alone.
Yes. Yes. Well, I feel a little shy to speak on behalf of all the people who listen to you, but I would like to just say, we're so glad you thrive. You serve us all. We benefit from it. And yay, yay you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Bev. I'm blushing if you can tell on the video. Thank you, Bev. This is a labor of love, and I know some of you call it an irrational passion, not Bev, but some of our friends call it an irrational passion. But to me, it is. That's what keeps me going. So, I mean, obviously, I do my other work too, my communications work, which I'm equally irrationally passionate about, but this has been awesome. I want the audience to have time to know more about you, Bev, though, because I want them to know, where's your website and how can they get a hold of you and all that good stuff?
Sure. So it's bevmartin.com, and that's just the easiest way to reach me. And I just love to work with something that you say today, nobody knows you like you. I just love to work through coaching and intuitive work to help each person know ourselves and know what's next to do. So yeah, bevmartin.com.
Well, that's true, because I know that she is awesome at helping you find the answers that are within yourself. That's how I describe what she does. And whenever I work with Bev, the thing that happens to me is there's this moment where she sees me sort of freeze. She can tell the light bulb just went off. What I love about Bev, which is so awesome that she alluded to, and I think this is her amazing superpower, is she has the ability to coax the answers gently out of yourself. And they're the ones that you think of with her amazing questioning strategies. And you've just heard just the tip of the iceberg tonight. Every time I'm with Bev, there's this moment where she knows that, I found the answer within myself, because I freeze, and it's almost like you see in the cartoons that light bulb going off over your head. And that's when I'm grabbing my pencil and paper and writing things down, and then I share it with her. Okay, I found it. And that's the most important part of a healing experience, a healing journey, whether it's a physical illness, you want to solve a problem, you're dealing with something at work, whatever, is when you find someone who helps you find the answer within yourself, those are the real answers. Those aren't try it and see. Those are the answers. Great. Oh, I love you, Bab. Thank you so much.
Right back at you, Sharon. I'm so delighted. And wonder what happens next for you as you continue to thrive. Can't wait.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll open that up to the universe to let all the joy in, to let it all in. Everyone, thank you so much for being here for this. You're all a wonderful community. Be sure and go over to lifeinterruptedradio.com/transcribe tribe to sign up for the transcripts if you like, and join the mailing list as well. Always appreciate that. Find us on Facebook at the Life Interrupted Radio on Facebook as well, or join us on YouTube. That link is lifeinterruptedradio.com, YouTube as well. And everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Join me next time, Friday night, 7 p.m. for another episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction, but recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.